Who's having a good week at camp? Come on, I said, who's having a good week at camp? Listen, kids, these are special times, and I just hope you embrace them. For those of you guys who don't know, again, my name is Devin Blankenbiller, and just so honored to be here with you guys. And, you know, something about coming here, you know, I'm a husband of a, so thankful for my beautiful wife. We've been married 20 years. I'm a father of four. I'm a pastor. But there's just something about when I come here, I'm just a kid who knows that God loves me. And I've been coming here since I've been 9 years old. I think I missed one summer since I've been nine, besides last year with COVID. And just this is just a special place. And I hope, and it's my desire and hope that you guys have been beholding God this week, right? You've been beholding His glory. You've been beholding His grace. I pray that God's been revealing Himself to you through His word, right? Through worship, through just the love that you guys share with each other, just with your counselors, right? Through prayer. You know, it says in Jeremiah that when we seek God with all of our heart, it says we will find Him. And listen, that is a promise I hope you take with you everywhere you go, that whenever you seek God with all your heart, let me tell you, it can be here in this camp with an awesome worship team and wonderful people around. It can be you in your room with nobody else. When you seek God with all your heart, you will find Him. Amen? Amen. So listen, I just am thankful, you know, in my life, I can look back to when I was 11 years old and staying in one of the old cabins up by, you know, the Beechwood and stuff. And I just remember God just ministering to my heart. And there was, you know, 10 of us in a cabin. We didn't want to go to bed at night because we just were seeking God and praying God, and God was speaking and downloading things. I remember seeing God at college when He was calling me to just commit my whole entire life. I remember God meeting me at an altar in a church. I remember God speaking to me clearly about marrying my wife and different decisions. I remember God meeting me, calling me into ministry and telling me to sell my business. Different times I saw God. And let me tell you, these are moments you're seeing God, and you need to grab a hold of that tonight. Because let me just tell you, when you see God for who He is, you learn that you can trust God for who He is. You understand that? As we see Him, we learn that we can trust Him. And if we're going to truly make these songs our prayer, where we're fully devoted, we come to a place where we completely trust Him. So I want to pray tonight before we get in the Word. Can you all bow your heads here in this moment? Lord Jesus, we thank You. Lord, we thank You that You are a God who reveals Yourself to us. We thank You for this amazing week. We thank You for Your love, Lord, for every single soul in this room, God, that You created them, that You know them, Lord, and that You love them, God. And I thank You that Your Holy Spirit wants to speak to them tonight. So, Lord, we pray, open our ears. Everybody pray that with me. Say, open our ears. Open our ears, O God, that we might hear You tonight. Lord, open our eyes tonight that we might see more of You. God, open our heart tonight that we might fully surrender, Lord, the good and the bad, Lord, whatever it might be, that we might fully trust You. And Lord, I pray, open our mouths tonight that we might testify of Your goodness. So we love You and we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. One second here. I'm going to move these monitors. Hope that's okay. Well, listen, if you have your Bibles tonight, grab it. You didn't bring it for nothing. If you don't have it, no big deal. But if you have your Bibles, grab it and turn to the book of Romans. It's in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and then Romans in the New Testament. I know when we hear Romans, we think of centurions or Colosseums or Caesar, right? But Romans was written by a guy named Paul. His name used to be Saul. And this whole book is about Jesus. And he was writing to Christians who lived in Rome. And just a little background on Saul again. When he was growing up and he lived in the time of Jesus, at first he didn't believe in Jesus. He thought Jesus was a hoax. He actually thought it was such a shame that people believed in Christ. He set his life out to kill and persecute anybody who would believe in Jesus. And he was on the road to Damascus to round up people who followed the way of Christ, to throw them in jail. And in that time, Jesus appeared to him. A bright light came from heaven. He was blown away by it. He didn't know who it was. Jesus spoke to him, said, "Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Right? He says, "Who are you, Lord?" And he says, "I am Jesus. That's who I am." And Jesus appeared to him in a mighty way. And from that moment on, let me just tell you, it completely turned his life around, that his one and only mission for the rest of his life was to tell people about Jesus Christ. Why? Because he saw him. Because Jesus revealed himself to him. And so when he writes this book of Romans, right, if you're wondering what it's about, I know Gertie started talking about this whole book of Romans is written to help people to see the glory of Jesus and the good news of Jesus Christ, right? I mean, he wants everyone to see it crystally clear so that people would just stop and be at awe and be like, is God's love really that good? I mean, Gertie talked about Romans 1 last night and, talked about just some of the ways people get off and the sin in our world. And listen, it starts there. It's bad news. We all have sin in our hearts and our lives. It says we all fall short of God's perfection, right? But praise God, it goes on to say in Romans that God demonstrated his love, that while we were still in sin, he died on the cross for us, right? While we wanted no part of us, he died on the cross, right? He put his love in action. It says in Romans 6 that he sets us free from sin, that we're no longer slaves of sin, but slaves of righteousness, right? He talks about how we didn't choose God, but God chose us, right? He talks about how we are now vessels of God's glory, no longer vessels of God's wrath, that we've been adopted into his family, all these good things. And he comes to this place in Romans 11. I think I have it for the screen. Kyle, help me out. He comes to this place in Romans 11, and I just want to read this. Because Paul, who's just trying to help people see, do you see how good God is? Do you see how amazing his love is? He gets to this place where he says, oh, how great are God's riches in wisdom and knowledge? How impossible is it for us to understand his decision and his ways? It says, for who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who can know enough to give him advice? Who has been given him so much that he needs to pay it back? For everything comes from him and exists by his power and is intended for his glory. Everything. I mean, Paul's just like, oh my goodness, everything that's ever been created, it comes from him, it existed by his power, and it's intended for his glory. You know, I read a commentary that Paul, when he was writing this, he was just sitting there at the skyline or at the beautiful view, looking out at how amazing God was when he wrote all the beginning of Romans. Let me tell you, I got to see some amazing sights in my days. 5 years ago, put this picture up, me and my wife got to go to Sedona, Arizona. We saw these amazing red rocks that just were so rich, and we were just, every single day, we were like overwhelmed, right? Just like by how beautiful everything was. We got to go to the Grand Canyon, next one, Kyle, please, and just see, like, just stand there and just be amazed at like, oh my goodness, are you serious? Like, God, did you create this, right? And just feeling just so tiny, right, in the midst of this huge Grand Canyon. I got to have the honor of ministering in Zimbabwe, Africa, and we went on a safari, and I got to see, real African animals, right, in Africa, right, in Zimbabwe, right, and I got to see elephants, and next slide, rhinos, right, and just like, here they are. This is God's creation. Like, it's not just some zoo, right? I mean, it was incredible. And just recently, last November, my wife and I climbed to the top of Pikes Peak in Colorado. And don't worry, we climbed with a car, by the way, in case anybody was wondering. So we and from the top of Pikes Peak, 14,000 feet, you can see almost over 100 miles out. I mean, it's incredible how far you can just see. And you go there, and you're just amazed. And you go there to look, and you go there to stare. And no one goes to these places and says, man, I feel really great and big. You go there and you feel small. That's what you feel. But let me just tell you, of all the places I've seen, nothing compares to seeing the glory of God. Nothing. And nothing compares to seeing his glory in his gospel, in his good news, this mercy, right? And that is why he wrote, Paul wrote, he's like, oh my goodness, I can't understand how wise and how rich you are, God, right? I mean, no one can search him out. No one can fathom. I mean, why would God want to love us? He doesn't have to love us. You know that. God is perfectly good if he didn't send his son, Jesus Christ. But yet he still did it, right? I mean, it's just incredible how amazing God is. And listen, if you don't see that, what I'm about to say means nothing to you tonight. It really doesn't. And I hope and pray that you've been here this week or however God has spoke to you, that you've seen some of the goodness of God. You've seen the love of God. You've seen his mercy, right? That God literally rescued us from hell. But if you haven't seen it, what I'm about to say tonight makes no sense. But for those of you guys who have, let's just turn the page here because I want to read our main text is Romans 12 here, 1 and 2. So you can just, we're in Romans 12. I read from Romans 11 at the very end, and Paul says this. I'm just going to just let Romans 12 speak. I hope that's okay. But it says this in Romans 12. You can put it up. It says, you know, and let's do this. Let's read this together. Can we do that? All together. 1, 2, 3. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Amen. Listen, I didn't talk this whole entire beginning about seeing for nothing. Paul starts this out and says, in view of God's mercy. Do you understand that, children? In view of God's mercy. As I'm looking at the glory and the power and the majesty and the grace and the mercy of God, as I'm looking at that, with that in the forefront, then he goes on to say the rest. Right? As I look at the understanding, right, and I get a glimpse, right, that, oh my goodness, God, your grace reached into my life when I didn't deserve it. Oh my goodness, when I was cursing you and wanted no part of you, your son died on the cross. That even though there's things that I think are hidden, you see every single intention and thought I've done, but yet you still love me. Oh my goodness, God, I deserve to be thrown in the pit of hell just like the devil and his angels, but yet you rescued me. And once I see that, now the rest of this verse applies to our life. And let me read it again. In view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. How many of you want to know what God's will is for your life? Sounds like we talked about it this morning a little bit, right? Let me tell you, this verse tells you exactly how you can know it for sure. And we're going to get into it. Listen, I'm just going to break this passage down just a little bit. It's going to be really easy, and we're just going to have an opportunity to respond as the Lord calls us to. Number one, let me just tell you what it says. It says we offer. Everybody say offer. It says we offer, right? Listen, when someone offers something, it's their own decision, right? It's your own will to say, hey, do you want this? Hey, you want to go out to lunch with me? Hey, can I give you this, right? It's their decision when they offer something. Let me just tell you, true sacrifice is surrendered. It's not taken. How many of you guys ever got something taken because you got in trouble? Raise your hand, be brave, right? Come on, raise your hand. Listen, when it got taken because you got in trouble, did you say, well, I'm sacrificing my phone this week? No, you shouldn't say that. You know what? Because you didn't surrender it, did you? Right? You got it taken from you. That's called discipline. That's not called surrender, right? That's not called sacrifice. But see, when we offer it, it's a sacrifice, right? It's here, God, here's something that means something to me, but I'm going to give it and I'm going to trust it into your hands because I know you are good. You know, this isn't something new that Paul wrote in Romans. If you go all the way back to Genesis in the beginning of the Bible, first book, right? We know the story of Abraham and Sarah. They were, God told them, you're going to be the father of many nations, but yet they couldn't have any kids, right? And so can you imagine? Here they are. They got this amazing promise. Okay, we're going to be father and mother of many nations. We're going to have descendants the number of the skies. One problem. We can't have any kids, right? And can you imagine just like them praying, you know, year in and year out and month out and day out, right? Can you imagine? They're 45 years old. Oh, God, we can't have kids. Please, can we have kids, right? Nothing happens. 46 years old. Oh, God, we can't have kids. We need to have kids. We want to have kids. Can we please, can you please give us a child? 47. God, we don't have any kids. Would you please help us? We want a child. 48, 49, 50, right? I know you guys all know how to count. But can you imagine year after year after year after year? How hard that was to wait. It wasn't until he was 99 years old that God sent an angel and said, don't worry, next year this time you're going to have a child. Because nothing's too hard for God. Nothing's too hard for God. Listen, we've been praying in our church for a family to be reunited for the last 7 years. Seven. And it's just sometimes I want to give up. No, God, you are faithful. You're going to reunite this family. You're going to bring reconciliation and healing. I know you are. Listen, they prayed for probably close to 50 years for this or more. And so here's this moment where Sarah has a child. She's pregnant. She has Isaac, right? And here's this moment where, can you imagine, they're like celebrating. It's like, hey, call all the relatives, you know, baby shower, whatever it might be. You know, it's time to celebrate. Right? Finally, God answered their prayer. And then all of a sudden, God says, hey, Abraham, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him to me. I'm not going to take him from you. I want you to offer him to me. Can you imagine just like how the room got quiet in that moment? Can you imagine it was like, just shut the music off right now. I don't feel like celebrating right now. Can you imagine the knot in his heart and stomach when God called him to offer Isaac up? But yet Abraham was faithful. God didn't take Isaac. Abraham offered him. He surrendered him freely. Now we know the story that when Abraham went to offer Isaac up, that God brought a ram and God said, Abraham, stop. I was testing you. You know, don't sacrifice him. I have a plan for his life. Now I know I can trust you. But this principle of offering, it's there. It's just trusting God to say, if I'm going to offer my life to God, God's not going to take it from you. It's going to be your decision. Hey, here's something some of you might like. This is not your parents' decision to follow Jesus. Do you know that? You can play the game and go to church for the next couple years till you're 18, but every single one of you are going to make the decision, will I offer my life to Jesus Christ? Because that's what he's calling you, in view of his love and his mercy and grace, to freely surrender your life. And listen, that's not just your life, that's your decision and what he wants you to do when you're older, who you should marry, how to spend your money, what you should be looking at on TV or your devices, right? This is all you making the decision, say, you know what, I'm surrendering my right to some of these things to God. And if God wants me to have them, then I will have them. And if God doesn't want me to have them, I don't want them. Let me tell you, you guys are all coming in that age where relationships start to be a big deal. Right? Am I right about that? Some of you, right? Right? Some of you, right? It's like, ooh, you know, can't wait. You know, some of you already are like, I know exactly who I'm going to marry. You know, you got it all figured it out, right? Wrote in your journal, some of you, not the guys, probably the girls. So just because girls journal, guys don't journal, okay? If you didn't know that, guys don't journal, right? They do when they're older usually, maybe. Okay, So anyway, here, let's get back on this track here. Listen, let me just tell you this real quick. Relationships and marriage can be an amazing life-giving gift. And let me tell you, if you choose the wrong one, it can be draining and it can destroy your life. Choose wisely. And you know what? When I was in college, there was a lot of couple relationships I had that I didn't offer up to God, and that person decided they didn't want to be with me anymore, you know. But finally, towards the end of my college career, I met my soon wife-to-be, Jess, and we were dating for about 6 months, and I'm telling you, if you think you're ever infatuated, I mean, I was infatuated head over heels. The only thing I could think about all day long was her. I bought her a cell phone. That was back when cell phones were brand new. I bought her a cell phone just because I could talk to her for hours upon end. That's how much I loved my wife. And we were just so like, oh, we just want to spend every minute together. And you know what? We loved Jesus. We took time to pray and read God's word. And there was a mission trip opportunity. We went to Guyana, South America, our senior year in college. And we did work with Habitat for Humanity. And when we traveled down to South America, and we were working with a team, and we were spending time together, and we just loved each other. And it was great to see each other serving God. And one night, we were sitting at a kitchen table in this little missionary center in Guyana, South America, all by ourselves. And when we were sitting there talking, and it was probably about 12:30 at night, we were all college students. We had freedom to do what we wanted. We were up at 12:30 at night. And I just remember somehow the conversation came up. Do we really know if this is God's will for us to be together? How do we know that? And within a matter of 20 minutes, the Lord led the conversation to us completely saying, maybe we shouldn't be together. Maybe we love each other too much. Maybe we're too infatuated with each other. Maybe we've been realizing that the mission trip hasn't been the focus, but we have. Maybe this isn't God's will. And we came to the point that we said, we think God wants us to surrender this relationship. And I remember just crying about it, and she was crying, but we both just felt like that's what we were supposed to do. I remember walking back to my room, and we slept in mosquito nets and opening the net and laying down and just saying, oh my goodness, what just happened? Did I just break up with my girlfriend who I'm just head over heels with? And I just remember saying, God, whatever you want, whatever you want, whatever you want. And you know what? I can't tell you just the peace that God put in my heart that day and that night. Says, it's okay. You have me, and that's all you need. And she felt the same way. And you know, a couple days later when the trip was over and I looked at her and said, so how do you feel? She's like, well, honestly, I feel like the Lord's saying it's okay to be together. I'm like, honestly, I actually feel the same thing. She's like, oh, thank God. And the Lord wanted us to be together. But it was an offering. Do you understand? It wasn't someone saying, I'm taking this. Sometimes we view God as he's the God who wants to take things. Listen, he wants us to offer it to him as a sacrifice. Second thing I want to say tonight when it comes to this passage is God doesn't want us to offer some. He wants us to offer all, right? Here's the key. God deserves all of your life. When it says offer your bodies, let me ask you a question. Did he say offer your left arm, right? Did he offer your left toe? No, offer your bodies. That means everything, right? Our entire everything. He doesn't want you to just give you God Sunday morning or Wednesday nights or a little devotion time, right? He wants you to offer everything. And I think we get tripped up on this. Come on, can we just be real here? I appreciated so much the worship team and just the realness of some of the things they were speaking into your lives. But can we be real? Because when we look at a passage that says offer your bodies completely to God, offer everything, that's where some of us are like, I don't think I can go there. Not in America. Not in America. I can't give everything. That's where we start to really wonder, like, well, God, don't you know that I have plans? Don't you know that I got a future, right? I got money to be made. I got cars to buy. I got agendas, right? Already at a young age. I got dreams. And God says, give it all. Do you know the rich young ruler came to Jesus? What must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? Jesus said, you know the law. I kept all the law. And Jesus said to him, go sell everything you have and follow me. And he went away sad because he couldn't do it. You know, it's a lot easier for people to give their all in other countries sometimes. In Africa and in China, in Mongolia, because they don't have much. But when we have a lot, let's be real, it's hard to give everything. But it is what God requires. And I think the problem that we wrestle with is we spend so much time looking at, oh God, you might call me to give this up. We spend so much time looking at that instead of looking at Jesus. Because let me tell you something, the more we see Jesus like we've been seeing this week, the more we realize he's worthy of it all, is he not? He's not worthy of some. We don't sing a song, I surrender one day a week. I surrender all, right? We give all. He's worthy of it all. There's a story in Mark chapter 14 where Jesus is in the home of Simon the leper, and all these people have come to see him and spend time, and this woman named Mary comes, and she brings this perfume to anoint Jesus. This is just a couple days before Jesus is going to go to the cross. God puts it on her heart to worship in a way of taking perfume and anointing his body and his head. This was very expensive perfume. The Bible records that it was about 300 days worth of wages. Okay, so if you say in this day and age, $40,000 maybe worth of wages, 30, 40, 50, we don't know, somewhere in that range. A lot of money. And you know what? If you had something like that, if I had something that precious, like, man, this costs $40,000, $50,000, I'd be like, okay, here's a little dab, and let me put a little anointing on your head, Jesus, right? But if you know this story, you know what it says she did? It says she broke the jar. She broke it and poured it over his head, the whole entire thing. She gave it all. She broke it, saying, there's no going back here. It's completely yours. I think there's things in our life that God wants us not to only offer up, but just to say, I'm willing to let it break before you, Lord. I'm willing to let it just completely be all yours, because you don't want part of my life. You don't want part of my situation. You don't want part of my heart or my emotions. You want it all. And the incredible thing about this story is that Jesus said, because of this girl's act or this woman's act, he says in Mark, he says, wherever the gospel is preached, this story will be told. 2,000 years ago, she broke a jar. 2,000 years later, we're talking about it today because it moved the heart of God. And when we give our all to God, it moves his heart. You want to see God do something amazing in your life? Give it all to him. Give it all. Don't hold back and let him have your way. I love what Dwight Moody, the amazing preacher and pastor, said. He says, the world has yet to see what God can do with a man or woman fully set apart to him. But he said, by God's help, I strive to be that person. Let me tell you, aren't you thankful, kids, that when your counselors came this week, they didn't just come for one day? Aren't you thankful for that? Aren't you thankful they didn't just come for a couple hours? Right? They didn't just come to say, hey, I'll come for the procession at night or something. No. They came and gave it all this week, didn't they? And they've been giving their all, and they haven't been holding anything back because they're following what God has called. Listen, can I encourage you? Change your mindset. Change your mindset. Stop putting God in this box of, you know, I do my God thing on Sunday morning, or I do my God thing, you know, 1 week at camp. I used to wrestle with that. I had this awesome week at camp every year, and then I'd fall away and I'd start doing my own things. Listen, have the mindset that as you go to school and you trust in him, you worship God. As you offer that time, as you go to work and trust in him, you worship God. As you have relationships, as you love each other in your homes, as you choose what you're going to watch on your screens, right? That you say, I want to honor God because he wants it all. He wants it all. And honestly, this is how we worship. This is our true worship to God when we give him our all. So listen, I want to remind you, listen, we offer. He doesn't take, we offer. It's sacrifices surrendered, right? I mean, not some, all. He deserves all of our life. Listen, third thing I want to tell you, death brings life. Death brings life. Listen, this is going to blow your mind, right? How can death bring life? But it does. You know, this has been one of my life passages, for a long time. I've memorized this passage. I preached on it multiple times. I've read it over 100 times, I am sure. I used to have it as a screen background on one of my computers or something. Listen, I love this passage. But you know what? It wasn't until just a couple weeks ago when I was studying it that I realized that that living sacrifice doesn't make any sense, does it? Do you guys know what an oxymoron is? right? When two things that are opposite are put together and yet somehow they make sense, right? Like jumbo shrimp, right? That's an oxymoron, right? Jumbo and shrimp are two completely different words, right? But yeah, you put them together, you guys all know what I'm talking about if I say jumbo shrimp. Anybody want some jumbo shrimp for an appetizer? I'll take some of that, right? Some of the guys are like, man, I'm getting hungry, right? How about this one, right? Man, you're seriously funny. You are seriously funny. Gertie, you're seriously funny, buddy. Well, wait, is he serious? Or well, you know he's not serious. Is he funny, right? Right, that's an oxymoron. How about this one? Man, he's pretty ugly. He is pretty ugly, right? I'm not going to look at anybody right now. No looking at anybody right now, right? Right, but those are two opposite words. You put them together, somehow you know exactly what I'm talking about. Listen, Paul writes, we are called to be a living sacrifice. If you know anything about sacrifice, you know sacrifice is killed. Yet we're called to be a living sacrifice. How does that make any sense? What does that mean? Well, listen, I believe with all my heart, one of the ways that it means is that it means that we are willing to die and sacrifice our desires even though we're still alive, and that as we give our desires to God and sacrifice them to Him, that God brings new life in us and we become alive as we sacrifice to Him. We're a living sacrifice, right? I mean, this is why He says, listen, we're to die to the things of this world. It says, do not be conformed to the ways of the world, right? That means we die to these things, right? I mean, it's incredible that this was written 2,000 years ago, and yet we all need to hear this today, right? Because every single one of us, no matter how much we say we love Jesus, we get pulled and sucked into the world. And this word says over and over again, don't be conformed to the world. Don't be conformed to the world. Listen, if you're not going to be conformed to the world, you have to die to your own desires. But let me just tell you, life is going to come because God says if you're not conformed, you will be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That God doesn't want you just to mold like everybody else, but He wants you to transform. He wants new life in you. Right? Transformation, like when we see a little seed gets planted in the ground and yet years later, it's a giant tree. What happened? Transformation happened. What happens when you see a caterpillar and it goes in a cocoon and then a little later you see a butterfly flying? Transformation happened. And when we give our lives as a sacrifice to God, even though part of us might die, let me just tell you something. God brings life from death. He brings life from death. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And He showed us that He can bring life from death. And as we trust God and as we sacrifice our lives to Him, we need to believe that He will bring us something greater. Listen, Jesus made it clear. There are two roads. One is narrow, one is wide. Jesus made it clear. There are two roads. One is hard and one is easy. And everyone in the world is taking the easy road right now. But He made it clear, one road leads to life and one road leads to death, eternal death. And which road will you take? There's only two choices. Will you conform to the ways of this world or will you be transformed? There's only two choices. That's it. A or B, what will you do? Every day as we live our lives for Jesus, will we say, no, I'm trusting Jesus Christ, and I'm not going to let these things of this world pull me away, but I am going to believe that God wants to bring new life into my life as I trust and as I sacrifice. Let me just tell you, you do not have to ever be afraid to sacrifice anything for Jesus because He always has something greater. Always. There's always new and fresh life that God is going to bring into your life. Listen, I shared that story about me and Jess. We were in a place that we felt like we could listen to God because we've already seen the goodness of God, and we came to a place to say, if God doesn't want this, we know He has something better for both of our lives. And the more we see His goodness, the more this passage becomes easier and easier, and we say, God, this isn't just a shirt that I wear that says devoted. It means something. It means, God, I'm trusting You with my whole entire life. I am devoted. I'm devoted. Let me tell you, Jesus is worth it. Jesus is worth every second of our life. You might hear me say this and you might say, can anybody really live like that? Do you guys know that there's been thousands of years of people who've taken Romans 12, 1 to 2, and they've completely laid their life before God and said, God, I trust you for whatever you want for me. No matter how hard it might be, I trust you. I was reading the story today of John Leonard Dober and David Nyckman. And they were two Moravian people. Moravians were a certain denomination in the 1700s. And they left the security of their jobs and their families in Copenhagen to be missionaries. And when they left to be missionaries, let me just tell you, God didn't call them on a short-term missionary trip where it was all safe and it was like, don't worry, everything's going to be fine. You'll be back in 2 weeks. That wasn't the kind of missionary life that they were called to. It wasn't to the Caribbean or I'm going to be a missionary to Hawaii or something like that or even Africa or China. But no, you know what they did? In 1732, they sold themselves into slavery to answer the call of people who were slaves who were saying, come and tell us about Jesus. They became slaves in order to have the opportunity to reach the slaves of the West Indies for Jesus Christ. Their life's purpose was to completely surrender and follow the Lamb who gave his life for them to say, we're willing to give our lives for you, right? The men left, felt their sacrifice. Here's the thing that got me. They felt like their sacrifice was pale in comparison, meaning not even close to the sacrifice that God made for them when he sent their son Jesus to die for them. And because they saw that sacrifice of Jesus Christ, because they saw the grace, and because they saw the mercy, they said, God, wherever you want me to go, we will go. And they answered that call. They said, we have one passion. It is Jesus and Jesus only. And they knew that their secret to be able to sell themselves into slavery in order to minister to their fellow slaves was to be totally following and surrender to the love of God. And with their eyes open and their eyes upon Jesus, they laid their lives down and they went. And listen, I don't believe God's calling any of us to sell ourselves into slavery. It was a different time and it was a different world. But I'll tell you one thing, some of the decisions that God asks us to make, sometimes they feel overwhelming, don't they? If we're real, sometimes when we say, Jesus wants me to follow, give my whole entire life, we say, can I really do that? And I'm here to tell you, God is calling you. It is the call to every single believer to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And tonight I ask some of you, as I close, have you seen God? Have you seen Christ? Have you seen his love? Have you seen his mercy in your life? Then in view of that, are you willing to offer your life back to him? And we would say, you know what, maybe there's a reason that God has you here that's greater than just that, man, I had a great week at camp. Maybe there's a reason greater than just, hey, God, I had nothing better to do for a week, so I'll go to camp. It's kind of fun. The food's good and lots of fun. And, hey, you know, chapel's great. Maybe there's something greater. Maybe God's raising some of you to be the next generation of missionaries, to be the next generation of pastors, to be the next generation of people to go and say, you know what, I'm going to be a light in my schools that I'm not going to back down or just fold to what everyone else is doing, but I'm going to stand and shine the love of Jesus Christ. And whatever that might be, maybe I'll lose friends. Maybe I'll lose popularity. But I don't care because I love Jesus. And because I see what he has done for me. And so, God, here is the greatest act of worship I could ever give. I'm not giving a song. I'm not giving time. I'm giving you my entire life. Listen, I'm just preaching what we already sang today. You guys do know that, right? Here I am, I lay my burden, my life down, right? We sang it today. God's just continuing to speak this message into your hearts because he wants it to go deep in your soul tonight. Listen, tonight, I think God wants some of you to surrender some of the deepest pain in your heart. Do you know that when we surrender our whole entire life to Jesus, do you know we surrender our pain? Do you know we surrender our disappointments? Do you know we surrender our messy families? Every one of us have messy families. Every one of us has areas in our heart that we're hurting and that we want different. Do you know we surrender our greatest joys? Do you know we surrender our giftings? Some of you need to surrender just your insecurity to God tonight. That you're just insecure. You don't think you're good enough. Listen, stop listening and just surrender that to God, those lies of the enemy. You are a child of God. Surrender that. Hey, I'm a living sacrifice. I'm taking those thoughts. There's somebody in here that God wants to set you free of depression tonight. Right? Hey, I'm giving those thoughts, those depressive thoughts to God. God wants to set some of you free already that you're starting to get addicted to things that are not good for you. He wants you to surrender them tonight. Surrender a relationship that you want to have in the future. Surrender it to God tonight. Why? Because this is our spiritual act of worship to just say, God, I offer it to you. Not just some, but all of it. I know it looks like death now, but God, I believe you are going to bring life into my life. And I ask you today, is there anybody here that would say, Pastor Devin, Brother Devin, I want to answer that call. And I want to say, that's me. I want to say, whatever you want, Jesus, whatever you want. I want to be in a place where I say, whatever you want, Jesus, this is where I'm at. Can you bow your heads with me today? Just all over the room right now. Can this just be a moment where we just take just a couple seconds and we open up our ears to the Lord? We take a couple seconds and we say, I don't care about my neighbor right now. I don't even care about anything else that's going on right now. I just want to hear what God is speaking to me. Can we just take a moment to say even, God, can you just remind me of how good you are? As I look back on this week and I see just your beauty and I see your glory, I see your love, I see the presence you filled my heart with, the joy you've been giving me this week. God, you are good. And we come to a place where we say, God, because you are good, because I see that, then God, I want to trust you. Some of you, God has already been speaking things into your heart that you're like, ooh, that's hard. And I'm here to say, it's okay. God is here, and he's going to walk you through it. And let me just tell you, if he calls you to it, and if he calls you to surrender, he's got something better for your life. Let me just tell you, the safest place that you could ever be at is in the perfect will of God. There's no other safe place. I don't care if he sends you to Sudan, Africa. You are in the safest place when you are in the perfect will of God. So in this place, I just would say, is there anybody here? I would say, Devin, you're speaking to me. I hear the call of Jesus, and he wants me to surrender my life completely to him. And I want to answer and say, here I am, God. Whatever you want for my life. If that's you tonight, I want you to come stand right up in front of this altar. And you just stand and face towards me tonight because we're going to pray for you. Is there anybody here that say, that's me, Devin? You just come and stand right up in here. I know we've been coming to the altar. You just come now. Say, that's me, Devin. You just come stand across the front. We're going to pray for you. When you come, you bring your disappointment. You bring your hurts. You bring your insecurities. You bring your joys. You bring your dreams. You bring the things that you want God to break in your life. You bring your failures. You bring your greatest accomplishments. And you bring it all and you just say, God, that's me. Listen, just keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed right now. Because this is just a moment where we're just responding to God. Can I just ask you all to take a step forward just a little bit in case others want to come? Thank you. Listen, I'm just going to ask some counselors, can you just come along the front here and start laying hands on some kids here? Because we're going to cry out to God together tonight. And we're just going to dedicate our lives to Jesus tonight. And counselors, I need you to come and lay hands on some of these kids tonight. Because I believe God wants to do something really special in a lot of your lives. I believe he has plans for you that you don't even can even fathom or imagine. But we don't get there without surrendering to God and just saying, God, I can't see the path, but I'm trusting you. And we say, God, I don't want to just go with the flow of what this world is doing. It's leading to death. It's leading to consequence and pain. I see it in my friends. But no, I want to be transformed. I want to be transformed. I want to be transformed. Lord, renew our minds tonight. Can I ask you, listen, if you're here standing in this altar tonight, I just say this is the time for you to raise your voice and say, God, I give you my life. Listen, he doesn't want to hear from me. He wants to hear from you. Just right now, all over this room, we're just going to start lifting our voices up to the Lord tonight. Just start crying out to the Lord, God, here I am. Just start making your prayer to God. Just dedicate your life fully to him. Just say, God, I'm giving all. That this is just a place of offering your lives. That you didn't come because I made you come. You came surrendering. You came on your own tonight. And so, God, we just say we're offering our lives to you, oh Jesus. Whatever you want, Lord, we offer them to you tonight. Lord, we want to be a living sacrifice for you, Lord. This is a moment of worship right now. This is a moment of worship. Lift your voice to the Lord tonight, children. So we just give our lives completely to him. Listen, maybe there's something the Lord's asking you to give up right now, and this is a time for you to just say, God, just to verbalize it. God, I'm laying it down at your feet right now. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord, for these children tonight. Thank you, Lord, for these children. We surrender to you tonight, Lord. We surrender all to you. Thank you. Counselors, can I just ask you just in this moment just to pray over them? Speak out what the Lord is saying through you right now. Just lift your voice to the Lord tonight. Thank you, oh Lord God, that you're here in this place. We're just going to wait on him tonight. We're just going to wait on him tonight. Lord Jesus, we're believing, Lord, for you to speak, Lord. We're believing for you to set people free tonight, Lord, right now. Lord, we're believing, Lord, that you just set us free tonight, Lord. It's our desire. It's our heart. It's our passion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord. We believe that you are enough for us tonight. We believe that you are enough for us tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This is my surrender, God. This is my surrender tonight to you. Here we are, Lord, laying our lives down to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Speak to our hearts tonight. Speak to our hearts tonight. Lord.